This is Kelly Blewett. I'm joined tonight by author Jana Rees. Jana is a longtime Cincinnati resident who holds a PhD in American religious history from Columbia University. She is a frequent columnist for Religion News Service and the author of many books, including Flunking Sainthood. She's here tonight to discuss her new book, The Prayer Wheel, which just released from Convergent Books, a religious imprint of Penguin Random House. Welcome, Jana.
Thank you so much.
So The Prayer Wheel is a new devotional based on an ancient diagram, and there are three authors of the book. So my first question for you is, how did you all come together? What is this ancient diagram?
Sure. So one of the co-authors is named David Van Bima, and for years he was the religion writer for Time magazine. Since he still has all of those connections with the art world, with religion, he was asked in 2015 to cover a gallery exhibition where a book of medieval gospels was up for sale, and it was $6.5 million. So he wasn't there because he was going to buy the book, but just write about it. What really captured his imagination, though, was a diagram inside the book, which was this medieval prayer wheel, and added to the book later, probably around the early 1100s. The book itself is from the late 900s, so a little bit earlier. And this wheel, it just looked so fascinating to him, like an infographic. And it had the texts of the Lord's Prayer pieces, the Beatitudes, the scenes from the life of Christ, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, all divided into seven pieces, with each kind of wedge or spoke having those pieces and leading to the center, which had Deus in Latin, or God. And he was immediately intrigued. It looked like, you know, God was sort of the bullseye, and all of these paths were leading into the center.
If I remember correctly, I did read an account that he wrote. He was kind of describing how there was also like some writing around the diagram, and he felt like he had almost fallen into Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Because it had this phrase, and I can't remember quite what the phrase was, but the way to return home,
yeah,
or something
it says,
like that?
In English, the translation would be the order of what is written here teaches the return home. So home is the center, home is God, and all of these different ways of coming to God are how the wheel is designed.
So you and David and a third author, Patton
yes.
Dodd,
mm-hmm.
really dug into this artifact, and you found that it's not just in that book. There were more. So do you want to kind of describe the sort of history that you unearthed related to this diagram?
Yeah. So as far as we know, there were several hundred of these diagrams that proliferated in the late Middle Ages. And I am not a medievalist. You know, I am not a scholar of this period. All of this has come from research that the three of us have done in consultation with some actual medieval scholars. And they became even more complicated. You know, I said that ours has these four texts and they're divided into seven pieces. But the number seven was very important in medieval spirituality. And so there were also wheels that had seven items and seven kind of circumferent rings. It's hard to explain without seeing it. I should say that if people want to see what this looks like, you can go to prayerwheelbook.com, and there are diagrams of this throughout history. And the wheels just became very elaborate, even to 12 on 12 with 144 items total, and maybe the 12 apostles paired up with the 12 signs of the zodiac, the 12 tribes of Israel. They became very
laden.
Embellished, I guess, yes, over time. But ours is quite simple with just those four texts.
So from this sort of historical context, you moved into how you would present this to the public. And at first, there were a lot of ideas. You know, would you write a history book? Would you write maybe a series of articles? But really what ended up emerging is a devotional. So I wonder if you could talk about how you moved from exploring the history of this artifact to imagining how a reader would use it to develop their own spiritual practice.
I would say that that was not our initial intent to write a prayer book about the prayer wheel. Our initial fascination with it was much more, gee whiz, this is an amazing historical artifact that has just resurfaced. Nobody knows about it. What can we learn about it? And the idea for reverse engineering it as a spiritual practice actually came from our publisher, which is a division of Random House. And the editor there, who is partly responsible for being the writer behind the Prayer of Jabez, if you remember that book from years ago. You know, he has a lot of experience with helping people to articulate their deepest yearnings through prayer. And so he pitched this idea to us, asked how we would feel when we were talking to different publishers, how we would feel about what he called a robust editorial presence coming on alongside. And we found that we felt great about it, especially in his hands, that if he were helping with this, that it could be done. So taking as our clue the structure of the wheel itself with these seven paths leading to God, we developed a 7-week prayer practice based on this. But that's, you know, that's a starting place for people to really get into the wheel. But we completely encourage them to go wild once, you know, once you have felt a little comfortable with this, to mix and match, to just really explore the possibilities of these different texts juxtaposed against each other.
We talked about 7 weeks, 7 wedges. Each week walks us through segments of religious texts that would probably be familiar to anybody who has a connection to Christianity kind of writ large. So I wondered if you could kind of discuss maybe 1 week and what that sort of looks like as a way to illuminate how the book is sort of assembled.
Sure. All of the different weeks are fascinating in their own way, but I guess I'll choose one that comes pretty close to the beginning. This is from week 3, and it starts with the petition, "Thy will be done." So the sort of invocation of that week is that we want God's will to be done in the world. And the question that naturally arises, at least with me, I'm always a little skeptical of people who think that they know God's will and they are just, they've got Jesus in their pocket, right? You know, they know exactly what's going to go down. How do you know that? And so the next thing that happens in the wheel is the Holy Spirit's gift of counsel. So this idea, this particular gift that is about discerning God's will comes right after the invocation that we have of "Thy will be done." And then Jesus's passion, Jesus on the cross, you know, Jesus suffering is the next element. That is interesting to me as well, because the beatitude that culminates this week is blessed are those who are merciful because they will obtain mercy. Well, what Jesus says from the cross, what he says when he is suffering is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And that is a very interesting connection. And the wheel is full of these kinds of connections of the different elements. When you put them up against each other, things that were totally familiar to you before suddenly are fresh.
As I read through this book, it really struck me that juxtaposition can be a really powerful tool for invention and really seeing things next to each other. I mean, one of the ways that I think maybe listeners can relate to this is writing down quotes that you like. Mm-hmm. This is something a lot of people have done,
myself included.
Yeah. And suddenly you realize these sort of resonances between the quotes and you think, oh, I see why I was interested in all of these. And they sort of say something more together and arranged than they do discreetly. Mm-hmm. And it seems like that's part of what can be sort of arresting about the prayer wheel as it relates to these texts that are very familiar.
Yes, that's so well said. And I agree. It's the relationships between these elements that suddenly make the elements themselves seem both familiar and strange.
You know, this is a medieval drawing, but there are other medieval practices that people are finding resonance with in contemporary life. And I wondered if you wanted to just briefly hit on a few that folks in the sort of tri-state area might be able to explore.
Okay, well, the one that seems to resonate most strongly with people and that is very ecumenical is the labyrinth. So the labyrinth is a medieval practice that was lost for a really long time and only rediscovered in the 20th century. Here in Cincinnati, in our area, there are a number of places that you can go and walk the labyrinth and try to sort of commune with God. There's one right by the river now at Smales Riverfront Park. And then there are a couple in the suburbs. Just Google it. You know, there are lots of opportunities. They're free, at least as far as I know. I've never encountered one that was not free. The idea of the labyrinth is that you have kind of this purposeful wandering. It's not like a maze. It's not like you are lost in this maze and you're trying to find the one way that will lead you out. Rather, the journey itself is of importance, the journey itself and the reflective time that you have. And our wheel functions a little bit like a finger labyrinth where you are tracing with your finger these different paths to God.
Jana, thank you so much for coming tonight.
Thank you.
I've been talking with Jana Reese, author of The Prayer Wheel, which just released from Convergent Books. More information on this title can be found on our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. This is Kelly Blewett.